Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, January 24th, is the feast of St. Francis de Sales, Bishop, Doctor of the Church, and patron of Catholic writers and journalists. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis focuses on the theme of storytelling in his message for World Communication Day. Protesters in Iraq call for U.S. troops to leave the country. And the heads of the European Commission and European Council have signed the withdrawal agreement ahead of Britain's exit from the EU. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Today, the memorial of St. Francis de Sales, the patron of journalists. The Vatican has released the message of Pope Francis for the Catholic Church's 54th World Communications Day. The day is observed on the Sunday before Pentecost, which this year falls on May 24th. The Pope's message, on the theme, "That you may tell your children and grandchildren," highlights the value of storytelling and underscores how urgent it is also for the Catholic world to overcome the temptation of destructive stories. Robin Gomes tells us more.
In his message for World Communications Day this year, Pope Francis reminds us that communication is authentic if it builds and does not destroy. He warns that the Catholic world is not immune to the deceptive and divisive use of the word to communicate. While warning against speaking false and evil stories, he encourages storytelling that speaks of ourselves and of the beauty all around us that helps us rediscover the roots and the strength to go ahead together. He says we need to make our own the truth contained in good stories. The storytelling that Pope Francis champions does not follow the worldly logic. It has a deeper value that revives our memory of what we are in the eyes of God. Drawing attention to the theme, he says that the Bible is a story of stories, which shows us a God who is both creator and narrator. Just as the Church is about to mark the first Sunday of the Word of God on January the 26th, Pope Francis, in his message, also invites Christians to be close to the sacred scriptures and make it our own. From the Bible, he says, we learn that the knowledge of the Lord is handed down from generation to generation, mainly by telling the story of how God continues to make himself present. An important part of the message is dedicated to destructive stories against which the Pope warns us, saying they are the temptation of the serpent who introduces into the fabric of history a knot that is difficult to undo. The Pope also condemns the greed of chatter and gossip, which we may not even realize, as well as how much violence and falsehood we are consuming. Amid today's many troubles, the Holy Father says we need stories that reveal who we truly are, also in the untold heroism of everyday life. I'm Robin Gomes.
In the Middle East, hundreds of thousands of protesters have marched through Baghdad, calling for U.S. troops to leave Iraq. Nathan Morley has the latest.
The well-known Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr had called for a million people to join the march, which was being held close to the U.S. embassy. The message was to ram home their demand that U.S. forces quit Iraq. Protesters gathered in central Baghdad early on Friday, and just several hours later the area was jammed with people. Many carried Iraq's national flag as well as placards denouncing the U.S. presence in their country. The assassination of the top Iranian military commander, General Qasem Soleimani, on the 3rd of January at Baghdad airport by U.S. forces has helped fuel tensions in the country. Iranian-backed militia are among those protesting on Friday. The general was regarded as a terrorist by the U.S. government, which insists he was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American troops and was continually plotting imminent attacks. At the beginning of this month, Iraqi MPs passed a non-binding resolution calling for foreign troops to leave the country. As it currently stands, around 5,000 U.S. soldiers are in Iraq as part of an international coalition against the so-called Islamic State group. Iraq has also been mired in an internal political crisis, with thousands of anti-government protesters taking to the streets over the last several months. The demonstrators have been protesting against corruption, which is perceived as being widespread across Iraq. They also object to Iran's growing influence in the country. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Elsewhere, China on Friday stepped up measures to contain a virus that has killed 26 people and infected more than 800. Lydia O'Kane has that story.
This is an important week in China as it marks the start of the Lunar New Year. But on Friday, concerns over the coronavirus saw major tourist attractions, including the Forbidden City and part of the Great Wall, closed. Public transport in 10 cities in Hubei province have been suspended over fears that the infection rate could increase as millions of people make travel arrangements during this festive week. As of Thursday, there were well over 800 confirmed cases, and the World Health Organization declared the new coronavirus an emergency for China. Most cases have been in Wuhan, where the virus is thought to have originated. In this city, people are fearful. Hospitals were inundated with worried residents seeking medical checks, and pharmacies were running out of medical supplies. While this is an emergency for China, WHO said on Thursday it was a bit too early to term the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. That said, the virus has been detected in Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and the United States. Britain is also at risk. According to state television, China is to take stricter and more targeted measures to curb the spread of this new virus. There's no known cure for the coronavirus, which can be spread through respiratory transmission. Symptoms include fever, difficulty breathing, and coughing. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Elsewhere in world news, in the United States, hundreds of thousands of people are marching in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., to speak out in defense of life and for an end to abortion. The annual March for Life takes place each year near the date of the anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion throughout the United States. This year, for the first time, a sitting U.S. president will address the march in person. Donald Trump will be the first president who is in office to actually attend the event. Previous presidents have sent messages or otherwise recognized the March for Life. Elsewhere in the Americas, Peruvians will head to the polls on Sunday to choose a new Congress that will be in place for just over a year as the copper-rich South American nation seeks to overcome a political crisis that led to the closure of parliament. In Africa, Sudan and a major rebel group signed a preliminary deal on political and security arrangements on Friday, paving the way for eventual reconciliation through ongoing talks. And in Rwanda, an opposition politician who reportedly escaped prison in 2018 has been sentenced to 10 years for offenses related to forming an armed group and threatening state security. Meanwhile, in Europe, 6 people have been killed and several more were injured in a shooting in the southwestern German town of Rot am See. That's according to police speaking earlier today. A suspect was arrested shortly after the shooting. And also from Europe, the European Union's executive has taken a critical step that will lead to Britain's withdrawal from the 28-nation bloc at the end of January. As Stefan Boss reports, it comes amid some uncertainty over the transition period set to follow Britain's departure.
The heads of the EU's Executive European Commission and Council, Ursula von der Leyen and Charles Michel, signed what is known as the withdrawal agreement. It came ahead of Britain's exit from the EU, or Brexit, on January 31st. The British Queen approved it on Thursday, and next Wednesday the European Parliament is due to vote for it too. Britain has agreed to follow EU rules during a transition period until the end of the year. By 2021, Britain aims to have decided on a deal on future ties. There is some concern that may not happen. However, a senior EU official told Reuters news agency that the European Union is working on the assumption that a status quo transition period after Brexit will terminate at the end of the year and not be extended. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, the official added that any prolongation of the time would mean London is having to keep paying into the EU coffers. The time is intended to negotiate a new deal between Britain and the EU on everything from trade to security. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has repeatedly ruled out an extension. Brexit ends 46 years in the EU club. After the document was signed in Brussels, it was taken to Downing Street in London by EU and British officials for signing by Prime Minister Johnson later on Friday. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Finally, during his daily mass at the Casa Santa Marta on Friday, Pope Francis warned of the worm of jealousy that leads to misjudgment and competition. Francesca Merlo has the details.
We must be careful of the jealousy and envy that lead us to misjudge others.
Ci viene l'invidia, la gelosia.
Pope Francis began his homily at Mass in the Casa Santa Marta by explaining that these two words are the seed of war.
È il seme di una guerra.
His message comes from the Gospel reading, which describes how King Saul's jealousy of David fades. Referring to the reading, the Pope recalls that the king's jealousy comes from the fact that although he had killed 10,000 enemies and David only 1,000, the young women sang songs about David's victories. This, said the Pope, is where the restlessness of jealousy begins. Jealousies are criminals, said Pope Francis. They are always trying to kill. And to those who say, yes, I'm jealous, but I'm not a murderer, the Pope replies, not yet. But if you continue, it can end badly. Because, he recalls, it is easy to kill, even with your tongue, with slander. Those who are jealous, said the Pope, are incapable of seeing reality, and only a very strong fact can open their eyes. So in Saul's mind, jealousy led him to believe that David was a murderer, an enemy. When someone who is jealous finally encounters this fact, this reality, said the Pope, it is a grace from God. When this happens, jealousy bursts like a soap bubble, because jealousy and envy have no consistency.
La gelosia scoppia come una bolla di sapone, perché la gelosia e la invidia non hanno consistenza.
He explained that jealousy is born of a conversation with oneself, misinterpreting things in a way that prevents us from seeing reality. When God gives us the grace to see the reality of the situation, he invites us to look at ourselves, said the Pope. We must protect our hearts from this illness, from this conversation with oneself. We must be careful of this worm that enters each one of us, he said, adding that when we feel this distaste for someone, we must ask ourselves why.
Siamo attenti, perché questo è un verme che entra nel cuore di tutti noi.
Finally, Pope Francis prayed to the Lord that we may have the grace of having a transparent heart, a friendly one, he added, that seeks only justice and peace.
Cerca la giustizia, cerca la pace.
I am Francesca Merlo.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And a reminder, tomorrow evening, Saturday the 25th of January at 5:30 in St. Peter's, in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls, Pope Francis will preside at the celebration of Second Vespers for the Solemnity of the Conversion of St. Paul. From the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.